Galatians chapter 5. And in our exercise of the person and ministry of the Spirit of God, and we're looking at that particular ministry as found in Galatians 5 and in verse 22, because his ministry is to bring all of the benefit, all of the benefits that come because God in Christ went to the cross to bring us all these benefits. The whole, how are you going to say it? Say it better. God, the Holy Spirit, brings us the life of God for you. God, the Holy Spirit, brings you his life to you. That's what he does. You can't beat it. Now, and the fruit of the Spirit of God means the life of God made possible by Calvary's cross. And so, as we go, and the fruit coming, that's all the tree, the branches, the leaves, the fruit. The leaves and the fruit come from the tree. The Spirit of God is going to bring from God in Christ all of the benefits as the leaf, as the branch attached to the tree, and the tree, the leaves, and the fruit. So, and the Spirit of God is going to bring us the life of God. Now, the life of God is God himself, and thus the character, his essence, his nature, his essence, his being, his attributes. And thus they are stated, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. A good, gentle, goodness, faith. Now, we look at those, because that's what God is. God is going to be that and 1,000,000,000 times more in your life. He just names 9 fruits. In other words, God is going to be love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He brings everything. He is everything. So, as we look at that, and we did, and we saw the practical, we're trying to see the fruit. So when we read these words, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, when we read them as we turn the pages of the Bible, you need where they're coming from. They're coming from God. And God is going to bring his love, his joy. The Lord Jesus will say it in the Gospel of John. My joy I give unto you, that your joy, my joy, might be your joy. Fruit of the Spirit of God, to bring it to a head and to a heart. Now, so just hang on to that. So as you turn, that's what we're doing. And we've already proceeded to verse 23. And we did faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. And you can't show your faith unless you believe. You have to be believing in something. That's how you show your faith. Otherwise, you're just a word. I have faith. What is that? I have faith. It doesn't mean much to us either. And since the words don't mean much, if they don't mean much, then they don't do much for us. All of that vocabulary doesn't do much good. It doesn't help us. They have to have some John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are full of life. They're pregnant, pregnant words, full of life. They have to have life. Out of it, you just got information. So, therefore, meekness. Meekness, mildness. Now, in order to capture that, and we're trying to capture all of this, not if I just read it, I just read meekness, we ought to be meek. And how many of us, how meek are you? How's that? My study question. Let's all look at each other and see how meek we are. You ready? Now see how meek we are. A, what on earth are you talking about? What's meekness? So we don't even know what to do to be something, to show something, meekness. Words don't mean, they have to mean something. Otherwise, that's just vocabulary and no good. So now, to capture that, again, to capture like we do the words, meekness, etc. So, over if I can, meekness, mildness. And picking up the word, a little old word, meekness, and to get a handle on it. Therefore, over if I can, over to in your Bible, over to over to the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 21. Matthew in chapter 21, and you will note, he enters Jerusalem, this is on his last week before he was crucified, and in the process, as you know, when the entrance is described for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, etc. And so when we come to Matthew chapter 21, and we slide down, if we can, to verse 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. He's going to come meekly, in meekness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, meek, that's how he's going to come. Well, how is that? A, the fruit of the Spirit of God. God is meek. How is God? God isn't meek. Meekness isn't weakness. Don't relate, don't put them together. Meekness is not weakness. It's the very opposite. So don't do that. So meekness. God isn't meek in that sense. He isn't meek. But he brings to us the meekness needed in his son when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, God in Christ, the babe. He's going to bring to us the standard, all that God is looking for us to enjoy God's wonderful person, to have the relationship that is required to enjoy God's person. Okay, he's meek. How is that so? Over to Matthew, and in chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, picking up if I may, and you'll know it. Chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, so my yoke, and we've been looking at that lately. Remember the ox yoke? Loop, two loops, and the ox is on one side, and then another ox is on the other side. And the yoke belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that yoke is his. And he expects you to learn of him. Now, where are we going to learn of him? Under the yoke. The yoke. Gets locks onto the head, and the ox ox has to go and move. Now, that's my yoke, and I want you to learn of me. So therefore, our education comes under the yoke. Where are we learning? Where are we going to school? We're under the yoke. We're under his tutorship. He's the teacher. He's the one that brings it. So we put our head under the yoke. I'm going to go to the classroom and stay awake and pay attention. I want to learn. I'm under the yoke. Now, having said that, and the reason, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And the word meek, meek, mild, mild, moderation. And what do you mean, meek? Let's exercise it. I am meek under the yoke. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the ox. If the ox is a new ox, as we shared, would be fighting. To have to, the old ox would train the new ox, and the new ox would try to get out of the yoke, and you can't. You have to go with the yoke. The ox, our Lord, is under that yoke. It's his yoke. He's under the yoke. He's going to be what? He perfectly is comfortable under the will of God, under the way of God, under the word of God. The yoke, he's perfectly comfortable. The yoke wants to turn to the left, turn to the right, back up, go forward. The ox has no problem. It is comfortable under the yoke, and it moves its head. It doesn't fight anything. It goes with it left and right as it goes down. It's meek, meek. It yields. It is flexible. It is tamed. And therefore, it is very comfortable under his yoke. Now, hang on to your thought there. Hang on. And I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now then, if you just get that, you've got the word meek. You've got the word. Submissive, submissive to the will of God, to the yoke ox, submissive, doesn't fight anything. It goes with whatever, comfortably. A yoke, it's meek, 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 meek. Now, so therefore, over to the Gospel of John, which you know all these things, all we're doing is keep putting them together. Keep putting them together. One big, wonderful picture. Not confusing at all. The whole thing's wonderful. Now, John chapter 5. And you'll remember, John 5, picking up, remember verse, I'll read verse 18 again. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So the Jews knew perfectly well what the Lord was saying, that he, God in the flesh, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. And they knew he just said that to them by what he did. And then the Lord Jesus helped them understand the relationship. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever that he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So therefore, our Lord Jesus said, as the Son of Man, I am perfectly in harmony with God the Father. And whatever the Father's will is, I am there to do it, to see it outworked in my life. So the ox yoke wants to go to the left, wants to go to the right, back, forward. I do whatever the Father wants. I, perfect humanity, enjoying perfect deity, humanity enjoying God's wonderful person. How? Going with the Father. Whose life is it? It's his life. Whose world? Who's the creator? He is. And therefore, verse 30, I can do nothing of my own self. I can do of my own self, do nothing. For I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why is your judgment just? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And if I bear witness, verse 31, of myself, my witness is not true. I was not created for me. I was created for God, the Father, to express himself. It isn't about us. Pride. You'll pick that up in the morning. Wonderful Mother's Day message. Pride. Anyway, it'll come out. Be of good cheer. Now, so in the process, I of my own self do nothing. We are not created. We're created in his image and likeness to enjoy him, not to joy ourselves. We have nothing. Take God away and we're dead. We got nothing. If I don't put God in, I've got a little bit of time on earth. That's all. Now, so therefore, I do nothing of myself. And while you're here in John chapter 17, and chapter 17, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So our Lord sets the pace, and we do just like he did. That's what he wants. You want to know what God's will for your life is? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to do the same thing I did for 3 1/3 years on earth. I'm going to do it in you. I'm going to do it in you. I'm going to live my life publicly, eating and drinking, coming and going. So whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Glorify God, whether you do. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, as my Father sent me. So now, here's meekness, to turn to God, to see God's will outworked in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what the meekness is. Yielding, a submission, a moderation, a balance, which we're going to look at, so you see it. And since I said the word worthy, over to Ephesians, which will help you with it. You, again, these are all things you know. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, picking up, please, in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. You have a job. When you got saved, you have a new job. The reason you're breathing is to enjoy his life and his life to be expressed. You're his witnesses, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Your vocation isn't going to work anymore. It isn't going to be a housewife or kitchen or anything else. Your life is there to open the refrigerator door and do all the things you have to do. To do all those things as unto the Lord. You represent him. You have a whole new purpose, a life to represent him. He in you is going to be represented. So the world's going to know his wonderful resurrected life by your little life, our little life on planet Earth, our vocation. And that's going to be repeated, our vocation. And go over to Colossians, the next door. 2 doors down, and do it again, just locking it in, each time, locking it in. Colossians in chapter 1, picking up in verse 10. Colossians 1 and 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, so we're going to walk worthy of the Lord. That's the same word, balance. Remember the word worthy? Balance the scale. That will help you with the word meek. Balance the scale. Balance the scale. Balance the scale. God's going to go this way, and then you go. Got to go up, down, whatever. Keep it balanced. The ox is smart enough to go with the yoke, and the yoke goes to the, they want to turn to the left. The ox is already going to go to the left, going to go whatever. It's balanced. Going to keep it balanced in moderation. Always submission. Balance, submission, moderation, mildness, meekness. Hang on. Now, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And 2 Corinthians, how does it work? 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 10, you'll note, and you'll see it. And you'll note, now I, Paul, 2 Corinthians 10, 1. And now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness, by my meekness, if I put a word, little pronoun, pronoun in front of it, my weakness. It doesn't say my weakness. No, it doesn't. It does not. It isn't Paul's weakness. No. I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, lowly, but being above, being absent and bold to Jew. Now Paul said, listen, my character, my life is based on God in me. The meekness and gentleness I have comes from God. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It's the branch attached to the vine, to the tree, to have all the life flow, to come in. So it's exercising what? You're exercising letting the branch abiding in the tree, so the life of the branch can flow, and the Spirit of God flows to the life of God, and the life of God is expressed in Paul. And Paul said, listen, when I'm with you, I'm meek, and I go with you. We're going to pick it up. You're going to see it. You're going to meek. I'm meek. A teacher. Meek. You're going to be the students over here, and the student says this, and they rile up over here. Meek. Teacher. Because you're helping them get to there. You're letting them get there. You're letting them learn. Meek. Teacher. Now, and the Lord, remember, Matthew 11:29, and learn. I am meek, learn of me. Remember the word learn we looked at, and remind ourselves always, to bring into your personal experience. Learn of me. Bring my wonderful life into your personal experience. Let that life become yours. Enjoy my wonderful presence in your life. And you're living like that. So we aren't just living, I'm all alone. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're saved. Looking to God. And you learn to live with him in the pain and heartache and everything else. You learn to live. That's what makes a difference. And now, hang on to that, if you can. And so, in the light of all this. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and we mentioned trainer, walking worthy of the Lord. So as you do that, just think, if you would. There's another word we mentioned in a minute ago, tamed. Now, what do we do with animals? What do we do? The trainer goes, and now forget animals, we'll start with humans. What are we going to do? The trainer is going to train us for some Olympic game or something we have to do. especially the Olympic kind of things. And we have to do it, and we other people do whatever they want. But you know, if you subject yourself to compete in the Olympic game, you're going to compete in the game. Now you got to get prepared. And you go to the guy that the people that can help you. And what are they going to do? In meekness, they're going to help you learn to jump right, to bat right, to run right, to feel right, and they help you. And you do it again. I know when I went 100 years ago, I was in, anyway, it doesn't matter, all that stuff. But I used to have to go when I did what I did, which wasn't much of anything, when I did it. And you know, the fellow that was, he was going for competition into France at the time in the sport that I was looking at, doing. And so what did he do? I did do in the process. He had me do the same thing over and over and over and over again. So I could just do it like that. Just do it over and over and over. Train me. Said, you got to do it. And that's, but he was patient. Patient. Teacher. The teacher has to be patient with the student. And that's, if you aren't patient, you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to stop, you know, the person trying to train probably gets frustrated because of your impatience. And they don't quit. They stop doing it. No. You have to be patient. So when they flunk, when they fail, when they fall, yeah, wow. You got to help them. And you get to try it again. Try it again. They're meek. They're teaching. They're help taming you to train you. When you have animals, dogs, cats, horses, no, not cats, dogs, cats. Horses and everything. Even a lion can be mild. A lion can be made mild, mild, mild. You train them. You train them. So the horse and the ox, and they just do what you're supposed to do. And they don't mind. They don't mind. Because they're fitting into their purpose. And they're being fitting into the purpose. They're tamed, tamed, tamed. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so that's what you need to understand in what we're looking at and what we're doing. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to, you got the idea. Now to exercise it. Exercise it. You tame. God said, learn of me. You're like the ox. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am yielded to the will of God. I never fight God. I want to get whatever God wants, the way he wants it, I'm going to go with it in God's will. He's my life. Literally, he is life. He is not only Christ's life, he's our life. And what are we doing? We're learning to live. We didn't grow up that way. We had to grow up. But little kids don't do that. You have to learn it. You learn it. It doesn't come free. That's why it says, learn of me. It doesn't say, have fun. You learn. You learn. Discipline. It's hard. You wish you didn't have to, but you do. You work at it. You work at it to learn it. Now, having said that, over if I can, in your Bible, over to Numbers. I started to say then. And in Numbers, where are you, Numbers? Numbers in chapter 12. Numbers in chapter 12. And picking up if I can. I'm going to go to chapter 12 and in verse 3. Now, the man Moses, Numbers 12, 3. Now the man Moses was very meek. The word very means very much so, exceedingly, exceedingly. He was exceedingly meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, there was no one like him, Moses. Now, Job, you weren't even like him. You weren't even like him, no. Moses was meek, wonderfully, wonderfully meek. That's what he did. He was humbled to be afflicted, to be brought low. That's the word that you go. In other words, another just a little thought. When you read the Greek translation of the Old Testament, Septuagint, you would find the New Testament word meek used in the Old Testament to fill up this word, to be humbled. You're looking at it. Meek, humbled. To be lowly. To be afflicted, to be patient, and to be brought down with just being afflicted. And therefore, humbled. You're humbled. That's a good word. Humbled. Submissive. Humbled. Now, and keep in mind in the, what he's humbled. He's very humbled. How so? Because, verse 2, remember, and has said, this is them by that talking, Miriam, his sister, and his brother are talking to him about his marrying. And in the process, verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? In other words, Moses, who are you? Why should you be chosen of God? Why should you do it? Why can't we do it? But I'm your sister, I'm your brother. Why can't we do it? And they shook their finger. Moses was very, that's the context. Moses did not say, well, I'm the thing. No, you know, he didn't do that. No, he didn't. He didn't do that. No. No. He was very submissive and humble. And remember, you'll know without going back there too much, over to Exodus and that, and Moses will say, who am I, God? Who am I to do this? You want me to go before Pharaoh, and who am I? I'm nobody, nobody at all, nobody at all. And how did you learn that, Moses? Well, you spent 40 years becoming somebody, pride. And you in a situation, right, he could have become Pharaoh. He was the favorite son of Pharaoh. He wasn't the son, but his favorite, special. It's pride. Pride. That'll kill you. Pride kills us. Pride. He didn't do that. No. No, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. God, you do whatever you want. And then 40 years, he got Egypt out of Moses, took 40 years, Moses is 80 years old. And now God's ready. He got Moses trained in everything, but he had to put it all aside like Paul did in Philippians chapter 3. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm rich. I'm a Roman citizen. Credentials, I've graduated to top. You can't do better. I count it all as dung. I count it as nothing. It's absolutely nothing when it comes to life. Now, so here, God, here's Moses, and Moses is very, very humbled, and intensely so. And he exhibits his humility, his submission to God, to leave it with God. He looked to God, trusted God. God could do whatever he wanted to do. And he was welcome to do it. And you have to get into that place, to leave to God, to look to God. And in the process of the outworking of his life, he was a very humbled man. He was. And he was humbled before God on the up and down that mountain in Mount Sinai, etc. And he was humbled with the people, frustrated with the people, but humbled. Now, in the process of all of that, Exodus, and his wonderful, wonderful humbleness. Exit. So over to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, picking up, if I can. Chapter 8, I think. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And if I can, what do we know in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness? God's going to go and do what he does, as only God can do it. So therefore, here's the nation of Israel. What did the nation of Israel need to do? They, in their pride, said, all that God said, we will do. Attitude. You tell us what you want, God, and we'll do it. Tell us what you want us to lift, what you want us to know, we'll do it. See, but you can't do that. But they did in their pride. In their pride. So the nation was to be humbled in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process, chapter 8, and you will notice, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. To what? To humble thee and to put you on trial, to put you to the proof, to prove you, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why? That he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. Man lives by what proceeds out of his mouth in a most holy way. Verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord to walk in his ways and to fear him. So therefore, to go down the corridor, that's what they would had to learn. They had to learn to be humbled like the ox. And they weren't. They weren't humbled. They held on to that basically. Never let it go, even in their high point in their life, when they were with it like they should have been. The pride was always there. The pride was going to get them, and therefore they were not meek. They were not meek. They were not teachable. They were not tamed. They were not tamed. No. No, they weren't. And therefore they paid a price for that they weren't tamed. Now, seeing that and looking at that word, that not ever the Israel didn't, but David did. David got the message. David got it. How did David get it? Well, David was just he was the least of his family seven. He was just nothing. He was a nothing. And Samuel's going to come, remember, chapter 16, where Samuel is going to go and tell him he's the one to be king. Now, what do we know about David? Wonderfully about David. David wasn't anybody. He was the least. He had the fewest sheep. All the brothers had different things. He had just a handful of sheep. That's all he had, a handful of sheep. Yep. And he was nobody, nobody. But he had a wonderful one, a wonderful relationship to God. And therefore, he took care of his few sheep. He didn't have a lot of sheep, but he took care of them. And he did what he had to do, no matter what, no matter how little it was. And he killed a lion, and he killed a bear, just because they went after his sheep. The sheep didn't belong to David. The sheep belonged to his father. And he was not going to let them hurt the sheep. So David, you did what you did in your most wonderful way. And God thus, as you know, 1 Samuel 13, just thinking of all those things. 1 Samuel 13. And God said, I'm looking to Saul and to Samuel. I'm looking to a man who's after my heart. And David wants my heart. David does. That's why he chose David. He didn't pick the others. No. He wanted a man after God's heart. And he found a man. And you know, David had a heart for God. And David says it. His heart, like here's the elevator. We used it 400 times over the years. And here's the elevator. And David got in the elevator to go up to heaven, to where God is, as it were. And he opened the door. Because David didn't say, God, come down. No, David said, I'm going up and line myself up with God. I want what God wants. That's what he did. And God said, I found a man after my own heart. I found a man. And David was there. Thus, a little bit. Psalm 18. And you know, in Psalm 18, picking up by me, and you will catch it. Psalm 18, if I may, oh, a little bit, just a wonderful section. Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel, they're the same. Anyway, now, Psalm 18, and in verse 33, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. Verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war. He shall bow, he that hath a bow of steel, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right, right hand doth holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. There's your word, gentleness. To bow down. God's bowing down to help us. God caring enough about your problem to come down and do something about it. His gentleness, God's wonderful what? Meekness. I am meek and lowly in heart, he said. I understand. And what I'm going to do with you, I'm going to help you be meek. You have to be meek. I want to tame you like a lion, like a dog, as it were. I want you to be able to what? Move. And my illustration for that for 100 years is like the feather. Here's the river flowing. And what I want to do is the river flowing. And I want to put the little feather, my tissue feather, into the river. And you know what? The tissue, the feather, doesn't fight the river. It doesn't try to get out of the river. It lets the river carry it down the road. And it doesn't fight. It just enjoys the outworking of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It enjoys the outworking of that moment by moment, letting it work out in its way, in its wonderful way. So God, thy gentleness has made me great. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Now God, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you can, over to Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25. And you'll catch it. In Psalm 25, may I go, here's David again, sliding down to verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. Think of the ox yoke. Think of the yoke and the ox under the yoke. The Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity, yielding to everything God wants, the way, even unto the cross, the Calvary's cross, all the way, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. God's going to help them. And thus, sliding up, if I can, up to verse O, pick it up, in verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Teach me thy paths, God. I want to learn. I want to learn. Verse 5. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. Teach me, teach me. That's where we want to be looking. Spirit of God, teach me. I want to learn. I want to learn. What you have to go through, I'll be patient with you. Patient, patient. And everyone's different. So the training in the Olympic thing or whatever we're doing, use an illustration, an Olympic thing, they're all different. They're all going to do the same thing, but they're different. So they all have to be dealt with differently. So therefore, Psalm 25, picking up here. And you know, verse 12, for what man is he that feareth the Lord, that wants to be trained, that wants to learn to be under the yoke? For what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God will do it his way. So what God will do in me, he won't do in you. What God will do in you, he won't do in me necessarily. But different. And we learn. But we're all coming to the same place. All coming to the same, to be run, to compete in the Olympic game in the same way. But we've all been trained. God does that wonderful thing to train, to humble me, to get me into the place where I'm meek. God, whatever you want. Listening to God. That's part of the problem with the churches today. To come to church, you have to learn about God. We have to be changed. Church isn't going to change anybody. They won't come to church to be changed. They don't go to church to be changed. They go to fulfill the religious requirement as opposed to being Muslim. They choose Christianity for whatever reasons they did. Tradition or whatever. And they do it. They didn't do it to seek the Lord with all their heart to be changed. People don't want to be changed. God's going to take them and change their life. Well, this is me. I have a plan for my life. I have dreams, my aspirations. And I do what I do. I do what I do. I don't want to be changed. That's why the church, his church, HIS, is very unpopular, and you won't find it. No. Now you guys look, see, better than I do. But for my little lifetime, I haven't seen it. No, not much. Now and then. Not much. That's what people want. You see, if we just had all that, we aren't up to that. And you know that. I'll say it again somewhere down the road. What do you have? We're here for what? To come to a personal, unique relationship to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's why we're here. And that's what I have done. That's what I've tried to run for. That's why I'm whatever. That's what you're here for. That's the one I started. That's what it's all about. God got me to himself. And now God's going to get you to himself. And that's what it's about. And if you don't want that, this is the wrong place. And they won't come in. They aren't going to come in. No. Because that's God's going to change your life to enjoy his life. And people don't want that. Because it means a drastic change. That's why they don't want God's will. God's will will send me to East India somewhere or something. No, God does not. God is always reasonable. He's always right. and always fear. And God understands, I will teach them in the way that I shall choose, if they want to be taught. But what happens if you don't want to be taught? You're just going to teach. No, I'm not going to teach unless I'm taught. I want to be taught to teach. Got the idea? Just a half a thought. That's why we aren't too popular. If I just had some bells and stuff, and Steve could sing, where are you, Steve? You could sing two or three better hymns that would bring more people in. No, we aren't after people. I've been through this. I've been down the road, and I know the game a little bit. I'm just telling you, it isn't going to happen. God has never been popular. He wasn't popular in the days of Noah. He wasn't popular in the days of Job. And he wasn't popular in the days of David. And he wasn't popular in the days of our Lord. He said, a foolish, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and then no sign shall be given it, as you know. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I hope it helps you a little bit. That's what you ought to be here for. That's what I'm going to do. And if you sit there for 10 years, you can, and you'd never grow. That's your problem. Because I kept telling you the same thing. I'm going to read Romans 6 to you. 60 years ago, 63 years ago, and now I'm reading Romans 6 again to you, 63 years later. That's the same 63 years. I mean, it's the same Romans 6. Didn't change. But you should change. I should change. Now, a little bit to help you. Meek. Got to be teachable. Flexible. Not pride. Submissive. That's the way it has to be. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over if I can, Psalm 131, since you're looking at David. You can't even look at Psalm 131. But if you did look at 131, if you did look at that, it's all about David. David was a humble rascal. He was a humble man. David was powerful, but humble. Yeah. You got to quit. Time's gone. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Meekness. It's a wonderful, 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 wonderful word. I want to see it in action. God help us. So, thank you for that. Our Father and God, help us. Spirit of God, meekness. Spirit of God, take care of it for us. Help us. In Christ's name, even to follow all that lies ahead, make it work. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.